The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Host of the Spirit of Faith, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good, and Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Whatever you're going through tonight, I want you to know that God is not your problem, never has been. He is our solution. Jesus is the answer for whatever you are going through. I love that old Andre Crouch song. Jesus is the answer for the world today, and he is the answer for the world today. And so listen, whatever you're going through, you can call upon the name of the Lord. And Romans chapter 10 verse 10 says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that word saved means delivered from whatever your problem is. He is our deliverer. He is our savior. He is our helper. He is the one who is a very present help in the time of trouble. Psalm 34 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And Psalm 46 says that God is a very present help in the time of trouble. And so he will help us. He will deliver us. He will protect us. He will bring us through. And all we have to do is trust him. He is the one who loves us. He is the one who provides for us. And he is the one who will bring you through whatever you're dealing with. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That Greek word save is sozo, S-O-Z, S-O-Z or Z-O, which means to save, to deliver, to heal, to rescue. He is our rescuer, praise God. So whatever you're going through, quit being down, quit being depressed, lift up your eyes to him and call upon him. Open up your mouth, call upon the name of the Lord. He will deliver you. He will provide for you. He will bring you through, praise God. We'll get into more of that in just a moment, but welcome to Sunday evening. Today is November 20th, 2022, and it's such a privilege to be with you once again. This past week, we had a tremendous number of listeners. We're almost at 10,000 listeners a week. Isn't that remarkable, Gary?
Yes, it is.
I remember when we had 400.
Yep, and, at the beginning.
We just have a faithful listening audience. It's so exciting. We're less than 200 from 10,000.
Excellent.
And this past week, we had listeners from France, Haiti, Italy, Jamaica, Norway, Switzerland, the United States, and our number one listener, as always, from Canada. Praise God. And once again, it's just such a privilege to be with all of you every Sunday night. God's got a word for us tonight, a word of encouragement, a word that will strengthen us. And I'd also like to talk about what you want to talk about. I already got an email during the week, and I'll go ahead and I responded by email, but I'll bring that up tonight and answer that question on the air, because I'm sure more of you have that same question. But you can email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. If you have a Bible question, if you have a praise report, if you have a testimony, email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. God is still hearing and answering prayers. God is still moving by His Spirit. The same Jesus that walked the seashores of Galilee 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus who is alive today doing miracles. Praise God. He is the miracle working, covenant keeping God. He's the one who never changes. And right behind me in the background is the tomb, the garden tomb in Jerusalem, where that was bought by Joseph of Arimathea, and Joseph put Jesus in that tomb. And 3 days after he was placed in that tomb, the stone was rolled away so the disciples could go inside to see that Jesus had been risen from the dead. The stone wasn't rolled away so Jesus could get out. Jesus had a glorified body, and he walked right through those walls. And we also are going to receive a glorified body just like Jesus. Maybe I'll read that verse here in just a moment. And by the way, everything that we teach you, my pastor is Bishop Keith A. Butler. You can check out our website, wordoffaith.cc. And everything we teach you is from the Word of God. We don't teach you anything that's contrary to God's Word. And if we do, call us out and we will pull up scripture and verse. And then if we're wrong, we will correct it. We will make the change, because it's not the words of a man that we are trying to get across. It's the Word of the living God. Bishop Butler has always taught me, never believe the words of a preacher. If he or she cannot show you in the Bible, you're under no obligation to receive it. As a matter of fact, you better reject it, because it is dangerous and it will corrupt your soul and it will corrupt your spirit. And many have allowed their faith to become shipwreck because they began to believe the words of a man instead of rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. It's so important to let precept be upon precept, line upon line, to let the word of God interpret the word of God. Never believe or trust in the word of a man, the sleight of hand or the cunning craftiness of those that lay in wait to deceive, but always go to the book, even if it hurts you, even if your soul at the moment doesn't like it. Accept the word of God with meekness. Receive the word of God, which is able to deliver, to save your soul. Praise God. Amen. All right, let's pray and we'll get into the word tonight. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we're so grateful and thankful for your goodness, for your mercy, for your faithfulness, for who you are. Lord, you are good. You are wonderful. You are faithful. And there is nothing too hard for you. And so we lift you up tonight, Father, giving you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, knowing, Lord, that you are God and there is none beside you. You are God and there is no one who compares unto to you. We exalt you tonight, and we ask you, Lord, for a flow of the Holy Spirit. Take us in the direction you would have us to go. Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. We pray, Father, for miracles among our radio audience tonight, no matter what country they're in, no matter where they are. Lord, you are a God who meets our needs. You are a God. You are the great I am. You are the one that meets us right where we are. So we worship you tonight because of who you are. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the God who meets all of our needs. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the Lord, our healer. You are Jehovah Tiskanu. You are the Lord, our righteousness. You're the God who makes things right. And you are Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. You are the one who is with us. And so we thank you tonight, Father, for your loving kindnesses and your tender mercies. And we pray a blessing upon this radio audience and those on Facebook. Thank you, Father, for moving by your Spirit. And in advance, we give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory in Jesus' holy, mighty, matchless name that's above every name. And we thank you for it right now. Amen and amen. Praise God. I want to welcome all of those that are viewing us on Facebook. And a shout out to you. I'd like to, if you could, give me a like or give me a share or both. It would be great so that more people can tune in. And praise God, I'm expecting a great show tonight. I'm just sharing the link right now on my own Facebook page so that more people can see it and jump on with us. I don't know what's going on with Facebook. I don't know how long we're going to continue to be on Facebook. I was just telling Gary that who's the guy, Gary, who owns
Zuckerberg?
Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg. He announced with this new Meta that they're not going to allow any religious or political affiliations or speech on Facebook. Now, how they're going to do that? I mean, how do you separate most people from religion or politics? I don't know that you can. So, but they're saying they're not going to allow it. So that means we're going to get kicked off. And that might be a good thing. Praise God. God will open up another door. But I'm telling you, we are in the last of the last days. My wife just sent me a post tonight, not a post, but a clip from a news show that talked about the red heifers. Have you heard about that, Gary, that they've got, I think it's 10 red heifers in Israel?
No, I have not.
And I'm probably going to play it here. I might try to play it right now. I'll get that ready.
If you send me the file, In Studio 101, I might be able to do it, play it over the air.
Okay, well, I was going to play the actual video on Facebook.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
You don't be sorry, so that they can watch it. So I'll see if I can pull that up. I could I can send it to you as well. I'll do that in just a minute. But let me go back here to Spirit of Faith Radio. You can check out our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. And I want to give a shout out to folks watching us tonight. And I see on here, Sister, let's see, Wendy is with us. And Joan, Minister Ulette says, good evening to everyone. Denise and Ron, good evening. Susanna, Veronica, Joan, Margaret, Susan, Andrew, Margaret. Oh, praise God. Cindy Lou, my friend, man, faithful listener. We got some awesome, faithful people every week. Veronica, praise God. Let's see who else is here. Amen. Welcome to all of you tonight. And again, if you'd give me a like and a share, more people will be able to jump on. And so this video, let's see if I can play this thing, is from OAN News, and it's just a short clip. And before we even read our scripture, see if I can figure out here real quick how to play it. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Gary, why don't you tell people real quick how they can join us tonight?
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Spirit of Faith with Pastor John Ward. Very simple to contact us. All you have to do is send us an email, and our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com.
Okay, I think I got it. Let me know. Where did it go? If you can hear it.
Organization.
Can you hear that?
And its team leader, Byron Stinson. Top Israeli rabbis are seeking to rebuild a third temple following the discovery of five unblemished red heifers, whose presence may be a sign of the Messiah's arrival. A meeting between a pastor and two rabbis will take place today in San Diego, California, would you look at that, where the guests will provide further updates regarding the construction of the temple.
The Jewish sage Maimonides from the 12th century said throughout the first and second temples there were nine red heifers. He said the 10th would signal the appearance of the Messiah. That's why many are excited about this arrival.
Nothing excites me like the apocalypse. If at 2 years old the calves maintain their absolute red color, they will be sacrificed and their ashes will be used to purify water from the Gihon Springs. Christians and Jews alike may be hopeful the red heifers maintain perfection, as it has been more than 2,000 years since the last one was found. That was interesting.
So this was on CBN News, and what they're looking for is that 10th red heifer, or a heifer that is without spot and without blemish. And this will be a sign, according to the rabbis, that they are now ready to rebuild the next temple. Now, we know scripturally that the next temple will actually be during the tribulation period. And this is when the Jews will begin to do animal sacrifices again for 3.5 years. They're right there, and they've been right there for quite some time, but things are not fully, the time has not come yet for that to happen. But you can see that everything is being put in place and is ready. And it's something, you know, that Jesus said. He said, when you begin to see these things happen, look up, because your redemption is drawing nigh. And before we get into all that, we haven't even read our scripture yet. So let's do that real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. And it says, I'm going to read the Passion Translation. We, having the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures, when it says, first I believed, then I spoke, so we also first believe, then we speak in faith. And that's what we continue to do as believers, operating in the spirit of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, you cannot please God. He that comes to God must first believe, have confidence and persuasion and trust in God that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what I started to quote a moment ago, let me just pull it up here real quick. I believe it's Matthew 24. Jesus said, when you begin to see these things happen, Luke 21:28, which is very similar to Matthew 24, but it's Luke's account. And it says, verse 26, men's hearts will fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, talking about the tribulation period, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin, kind of like a woman, Gary, who is full term pregnant, and she's not quite ready to deliver, but she knows that her delivery is imminent.
Mm-hmm.
So we call this the beginning of sorrows, or when the labor pains start. And you could even take it back a couple weeks prior, when she starts having all these Braxton Hicks, and the uterus is contracting, and the uterus is getting ready for the delivery. And she knows that that time is getting ready. I know with my wife, when we had our first child, Rachel, she had 3 days of nonstop Braxton Hicks. Her belly was rock hard. We'd go to sleep at night and she would fall asleep, and I would reach over and check her belly, and her belly was as hard as a rock. She was having contractions. And so when you start having those contractions, that's the beginning of what we call labor pains, before it's not actual labor pains, you know, that's going to be imminent to birth, but it's the pre-contractions that they call Braxton Hicks. Once those contractions actually started, with my wife, her water broke before she had any contractions. Once her water broke, then she started having contractions, and very quickly, in just a couple hours, the baby came. As a matter of fact, Gary, we got to the hospital 20 minutes before my daughter was born.
Oh, wow. Wow.
No IV.
Wow.
No medications, no nothing. She just, we got there and 20 minutes later, baby came out. That's
wow.
A pretty awesome story. maybe share that one time. But this is what Jesus is talking about. He's likening it unto labor pains of a woman. And he says that when you begin to see these things happen, verse 28, I'm in Luke 21:28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, this word redemption is the Greek word apolutrosis. Apolutrosis is talking about your ransom, your deliverance, your redemption. Now, this word here is found 10 times in the New Testament, but here it's specifically referring to the redemption of the body. Because remember, we have already been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've already been purchased. We've already been, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature, which is talking about your spirit. Your spirit is a new creature. But when you get born again, you don't get your soul. Your soul is not new. You have the same soul, but you have to renovate your soul. You have to renew your soul. And then you have your body. Your body's not new. Your body is the exact same thing that you had when you got born again. But here he's talking about the redemption of the body. Your body is going to be redeemed. And we see that in Romans, the 8th chapter. Let's go and look at that real quick. He's talking about the redemption of the body and all of these things going on. We should have ears to hear. We should have eyes to see. Jesus said to the people in his day, he said, how is it that you can tell the weather? You can discern the weather. You can figure out that at night, the sailors say, red sky at night, sailors delight. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. They can look at the signs of the sky and they can determine the weather. But Jesus said, how is it that you can't discern the times that we live in? And we ought to know the times. We ought to be able to understand by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, what he is revealing to us about these times, that we are right at the very door of the return of Christ, that we are right there when Jesus is going to return. We ought to know this by the Spirit, and we ought to be able to discern the times that we live in. And so the redemption of the body, he describes in Romans chapter 8, might as well start right around verse 16. I'm sure we've read this before. Romans 8:16. Let's go to verse 18. No, verse 17. Verse 16 again. We'll start at 16. He says, the Spirit himself. Now, in your Bible, it probably says itself, but the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. When you read in John chapter 16, you see Jesus referring to the Holy Spirit multiple times. I think it's like 8 times he calls him he. He is a person. He is God. He's just as much God as the Father, just as much God as the Son. So I never refer, and we should never refer to Holy Spirit as an it, because he's not an it. He is a person. He says in verse 16, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, how does he co-witness? How does he bear witness with our spirit? Because he lives in our spirit. When you get born again, the Bible says that if you are Christ, he said that if you have not the Spirit of Christ, then you are none of his. So when you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside your spirit, and he bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God and joint or co-equal heirs with Christ. You say, what? How could I get the same that Jesus gets? Well, that's what God determined. God determined that if you are in Christ, you are his son, and everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. Whoo, glory to God. And if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So now suffering here is talking about suffering for the gospel, suffering as a result of living by faith and not by sight, suffering as in putting down your flesh, allowing your flesh to be crucified and not glorified. In other words, you don't glorify your flesh. Now, God is going to glorify your body. But sometimes what Christians do is we just live by whatever pleases our flesh, and that's not pleasing to God. And when you're pleasing God, it's going to cause your flesh to suffer because your flesh wants things that your flesh can't have. Your flesh should not eat anything that it wants. Your flesh should not be able to have sex whenever it wants with whoever it wants. Sex is for marriage, and the marriage bed is undefiled. Your flesh has certain desires. It wants to do certain things. If your flesh gets mad, it wants to cuss somebody out. But the Bible says, be patient with all men. The Bible says, do good to all men. The Bible says to show the goodness of God. Let the fruit of the Spirit come forth so that people may glorify your Father who is in heaven, because he is good to the just and the unjust. So there are things that we are called to crucify our flesh and not just let our flesh have its own way. And Jesus, and the scripture here says in verse 17 that when we do that, we are suffering. And when we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together with him. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, the ones I just mentioned, crucifying your flesh, not letting your flesh have its way, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This is the same glory that the Holy Spirit used when he raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus was raised a glorified body. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talking about resurrection, talking about the resurrection of Jesus, talking about the resurrection of our bodies, that our bodies are sown a natural death, but they shall be raised a spiritual body. And when that spiritual body is raised, it is a tangible physical body. But instead of blood flowing through, 1 Corinthians 15 says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption, neither does mortality inherit immortality. And so we are going to receive a same body, but it's going to be a glorified body. The blood is going to be removed and the glory is going to fill us. Hallelujah. I'm starting to get excited. Hallelujah. So he says here, it's not worthy. The sufferings that we go through now are not worthy. I hope I'm encouraging somebody. You need to what's the word I'm looking for? You need to gear yourself up to say no more flesh. You're not going to rule. You're not going to have the day anymore. I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to put God first. I'm going to do his word. I'm going to crucify this body. I'm going to put God first no matter what. You know, for some people listening right now, there's somebody you need to forgive. You've got unforgiveness in your heart for what they have done. And some people are really spiteful. Have you ever met anybody like that, Gary? It just seems like they just won't stop.
Yes.
It's like you've gotten out of their life, but they just won't stop.
Yes.
And this is what Jesus talked about. Jesus said, pray for those who despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you. They've got spite in their heart. And you know, some people think that they're serving God and think that they love God and they're got this religious idea, but at the same time they're holding unforgiveness and spite in their heart. You got to let it go, because there is absolutely no one in heaven who has unforgiveness in their heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 that if you will not forgive your brother from your heart, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. There is nobody in heaven who is unforgiven by the Father. If the Father has not forgiven you, you will not go to heaven. I don't care how much Bible you know. If you don't do the basics, forgiving everybody from your heart, which means you're going to have to crucify your flesh. You're going to have to say, no, I am not going to follow after this spite anymore. I'm not going to follow after this unforgiveness anymore. I am going to let it go because Jesus has forgiven me. Who do we think we are anyway? If God forgave us, who are we to not forgive someone else? I mean, that is the epitome of arrogance, to think that somehow you're better that God forgave you than someone else who you will not forgive. That just doesn't make any sense at all. All of us deserve a devil's hell. All of us deserve to be punished eternally because we were all born into sin after the similitude of Adam. Every single one of us were born in sin. None of us were born innocent. None of us were born perfect. None of us were born like Adam. We were all born after Adam's death, which means separated from God. And that's how we were born, separated from God. Not any of us are born better than another. You know, we like sometimes to think about how, you know, some people were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. No, man, you may have had some money, but that money is going to perish. That money is not, you can't take that money with you. You can't buy salvation or buy eternal life. Eternal life is the gift of God. The grace of God is just that. It is benevolence. It is a gift. It's nothing we can do to deserve it. Nothing we can do to earn it. It is a gift. And if people have hurt you, and I know they have, and I know some of them have done it spitefully. Some people have really hurt you. I mean, they have cut you, and then they went and bought a 12-pack of lemons, and they cut the lemons open, and they poured those lemons into your wound. I get it, man. I mean, it is nasty. But understand, Ephesians chapter 6 is that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and dominions and rulers of this darkness. There are demon spirits that are assigned to get you to a place where you reject the gospel. You say, well, I'll never reject Jesus. If you will not forgive your brother, you're rejecting Jesus. Come on, pastor. You've gone too far now. No, man. If you will not forgive, then you will not receive the benefit of the gospel. You must forgive every person from your heart. If you will not forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive you, and there is no one in heaven that has unforgiveness. But I'm saved. Once I get saved, then I'm saved forever. No, you're not. Salvation is something that is conditional upon obedience. If you do not do the word, you are not receiving the benefits of the word. Well, but I've been doing the word for 20 years, 25 years. Well, if you do the word for 40 years and 2 days, but on 40 years and day three, you decide to stop doing the word, then you stop receiving the benefits. Is it easy to do that? No, it's not. But can people become deceived or hardened in their heart? Yes, they can. Read 1 Timothy chapter 1, where he talks about Hymenaeus and Alexander the coppersmith, who did Paul much evil. Paul turned certain individuals over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, so that in the end they might be saved. In other words, they're going to have to make a choice. Sometimes when judgment comes upon a person's life, that judgment is the mercy of God, so that things get so bad that they come to their senses and realize the mistakes that they have made and come back to Christ. Praise God. And we live in a day right now where there are many that are falling away. And the scripture, again, another scripture being fulfilled. If you're just tuning in, go back to our archives after this show is done and listen to the clip that I played about the red heifer and how it's a sign of the time that the Jews believe they have found the 10th red heifer since the 10th century, or what was it? The 10th century. And this red heifer represents the rebuilding of the next temple so that they can begin to offer sacrifices in the temple. Well, it's another sign. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says that the man of perdition, the man of sin, cannot be revealed until there first be a falling away. The word falling away is the Greek word apostasia, which means that people will stop walking by faith. They will reject the faith by not doing the word anymore. Hebrews tells us, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but even more so as you see the day approaching. One of the ways that people fall away is they stop going to church. They stop tithing. They stop giving to God. There's a whole movement right now where people believe they don't need to tithe. And you know what? Tithing is not we're not under the law. We're under grace. But Abraham tithed 400 years before the law. And Abraham is our father. If you be Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. So if you believe that you're the seed of Abraham, if you believe that you're an heir according to the promise, you're an heir of the blessing, then you ought to do what your father Abraham did. Father Abraham was a tither, praise God. He didn't do it because he was commanded to do it. He did it because he loved God and he wanted to honor God. He was not going to allow any man to say that you have made Abram rich. Praise God. He was trusting God no matter what. I don't tithe because I get a tax return. I tithe because I love God. I tithe because I honor God. Sure, my flesh, I guess, likes the tax return, but I would tithe even if I didn't get the tax return. And that day may be coming very soon. They've been trying to take away that for some time now. All of these things going on and all these signs of the times, these religious persecutions, all these things increasing is showing us that we are getting close to the coming of the Lord. And he said there must first be a falling away. Well, I look at churches today and so many churches, even wonderful, you know, they're good churches. The numbers are so far down from where they were before COVID. And this is a sign that Jesus said we would see before, actually the Holy Spirit said that we would see these things before the coming or the appearing rather of Jesus. Remember, you've got the appearing and then you have the return of Christ on the Battle of Armageddon. The appearing is what we're talking about right now. And we're in Romans, the 8th chapter. Let's continue to read here in Romans. Let's just back up here once again to verse 18. He says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time." Now, what sufferings are we talking about? We're talking about the crucifixion of the flesh. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who lived and died for me." And so when you're living by faith, you have to crucify the flesh. We've been talking about one of the ways we have to crucify the flesh is say, flesh, you are going to forgive this person. You are going to pray for this person. You're going to give this person a gift. That's what Jesus said to do. He said, bless those who curse you and say all manner of evil against you. Bless them. Bless them means give them, be benevolent to them. And your flesh don't want to do it. My pastor, Bishop Butler, he tells an awesome story when we got our first building. It was actually the building that I got saved in. I got born again, Gary, in 1981 at Word of Faith under my pastor, Bishop Butler, 1981.
That's amazing.
And back in 1993, the Lord would bring me, actually, I got rededicated or born again in 1993. But then I came back to Word of Faith in 2001, which was almost exactly 20 years later. I came back to Word of Faith under the same pastor who started that church.
That's great.
And, hallelujah. And I can't remember why I brought that up. Praise God.
Okay, it's a good story.
Let's go back. Huh?
It's a great story. It is
amazing how God works. It really is. And praise God. Amen. I was telling you something about what Bishop Butler says. Praise God. It'll come back to me in Jesus' name. All right. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. He says in verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." So in other words, let your flesh die, because very soon it's going to be worth it. And again, Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ." In other words, I don't let my flesh dominate. Oh, that's what I was telling you, is a story when he got his first building, which was where I got saved. And what happened was, is they were $50,000 short of being able to pay this building. Now, this is back in 1979, Gary. And I think the building they needed, like, I can't remember, 80,000 or something. And he had 50,000, but he needed 30,000 and didn't have it. And Brother Hagen, Kenneth Hagen from Rhema Bible School, is where Bishop Butler graduated. And he had taught them the power of rejoicing, the power of of rejoicing in the midst of trials. And they're at a place where he had to have this money. And he started rejoicing and started rolling on the floor and just thanking God, even though his flesh said he was crazy and said it didn't make any sense. And long story short, a man called on the phone to the church and said that he needed to see him. And he thought that the man wanted a counseling session or something just to meet with him. And, you know, he's thinking to himself, I don't have time for this, but the guy insisted, I have to see you right now. So the guy comes over and he said, the Lord told him to go see him and to write him a check for whatever he needed.
Oh my goodness.
And so he pulls this big checkbook out and Bishop says he needs $30,000. The guy wrote $30,000, handed him the check and left.
Wow.
And so Bishop calls the bank and says, I just got a check and I want to know if the check is good. And the person at the bank said, well, you know, I can't tell you, you know, how much they have, but I'll tell you this, whatever he said that he can do for you, he can do it.
Wow.
And so they took that check to where the closing was, and the closing was that morning. And when they brought the check in, they all thought that they were coming to forfeit the money because the people they were buying the church for really didn't want them to have the church. And he walked in, handed them the check, and they closed on the deal. And God did an amazing miracle that day. But part of the big story to this is that, but when they were in the middle of believing God for this, the co-pastor that was helping Bishop with all of this decided he was going to leave and took half the congregation with him.
Oh.
And this wasn't just a co-pastor. This was his friend. This was somebody he was very close with. They spent time together. They played cards together. They were close. And this guy totally betrayed him. And the Lord said, now I want you to take an offering and I want you to bless this man with the offering. Now, this is in the middle of him believing God for $30,000. And on the Sunday, he received an offering, and it was the biggest offering they had ever gotten. And instead of that offering going toward paying for the down payment that they needed, the $30,000, he was supposed to give it to this man who had betrayed him in the middle of all this.
Wow, what a story.
Imagine that. And so you got to know everything in his flesh was, you know, keep the money, give him half, give him this, give him that. Who's going to know? But listen, God knows everything. And every one of these things are tests. If you remember, God tested Abraham and he told Abraham, go offer up your son. God's promise to Abraham was a son. And now God's telling him, offer up your son. And Abraham was obedient. And God told Bishop, you bless this man. You bless him with the money. And then you tell him that you love him.
Wow.
you hug him, tell him that you love him, and you give him the money. And he didn't want to do it. Everything in his, he said when he saw the man, his fist began to clench. Like he wanted to punch him, not bless him. And that's the flesh. See, this is the difference between crucifying the flesh and then allowing the flesh to do whatever it wants. Your flesh, the mind of the flesh has a mind of its own. But the Bible says that if you are carnally minded, if you live by the flesh, then you will die. But if you through the Spirit mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, then you shall live. Praise God. I have an awesome pastor, Gary. Bishop Butler is just an amazing man of God. As a matter of fact, his birthday is coming up this week. Praise the Lord. We just celebrated his birthday today. Amen.
Amen.
So let's go back to Romans chapter 8. And he says in verse 19, for the earnest or the earnest expectation or the hope of the creature, talking about your body, waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. And this manifestation of the sons of God is receiving our glorified body. And we don't have time right now, but you could read all the way down to verse 25. And he's talking about here receiving the redemption, the purchase of our body. I want to read real quickly before we get to your questions tonight. 1 John chapter 3, And he says in verse 1, 1 John 3, verse 1, behold, or look, what manner of love the Father has bestowed, given to us, that we should be called the sons of God. And therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. He's talking about us being born again and receiving the deposit or the earnest of the Spirit. We have received the Holy Spirit on the inside of our spirit, praise God. And it does not yet appear. Now, remember what I was telling you. We've got two different experiences with Jesus coming up in our very near future. The next one is the appearing of Christ, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18, when he shall appear in the clouds. Then we have the return of Christ, or what we call the second advent, when he returns to the Mount of Olives. These are absolutely two separate occurrences that happen 7 years apart. The first one is the appearing, which is the rapture of the church, when we receive our glorified bodies, and when our bodies are redeemed, not our spirits. Our spirits are redeemed in Christ when you believe on Jesus, and the blood of Jesus washes you, and the Holy Spirit does an operation in your spirit. You become a new creature in Christ. But the redemption of the body is when you are faithful unto God, and when he returns, you shall receive the appearing of Christ, rather, in the clouds, when you shall receive a glorified body. And that body will not be flesh and blood, it will be flesh and bone. So the same body you have, but instead of blood flowing through your veins and your arteries, you'll have the glory of God flowing through your veins and your arteries. Verse 2, beloved, now we are sons of God, it does not yet appear, not yet, but when he, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, talking about the rapture of the church, we shall be like him, just like him, for we shall see him as he is. Remember, we are heirs of God, but we are co-heirs of Jesus. Everything that Jesus has, we have. So Jesus has a glorified body. We are going to get a glorified body. Verse 3, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. If you truly have this hope in you, you are going to purify yourself. In other words, you're going to live holy. You're going to make yourself clean. You're going to be sanctified. You're going to be ceremonially or morally purified. And this happens when you have an expectation of the promises of God. And when you do, that holy fear on the inside causes you to live right and get rid of all the junk in your life. Thank God for mercy, and thank God for the privilege that we are able to judge ourselves. I was just reading this morning in my devotion time in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that if we will judge ourselves, then we will not be judged. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. A few more people here on Facebook now. Shout out to Sister Avenel and to Brother Compton and Sister Thelma, Denise, and Ron, who've all joined us. Praise God. Now, let's go to your questions. You can still email me in studio101@gmail.com. Ooh, we got a lot of questions. In studio101@gmail.com. And let's start with one that we had came in just a couple days ago or so, and it says, hi, Pastor John. In Acts, this is from our friend Todd. And Todd says, in Acts chapter 5, it talks about how Ananias and Sapphira immediately dropped dead when they were caught in a lie. There are many other notable examples of people lying in the Old and the New Testament, but they didn't die immediately. Even some in Colossians, in the Colossian church, apparently had an issue with lying. In chapter 3, verse 9, the Holy Spirit reminds them not to lie to one another. We see the same thing in Ephesians chapter 4, by the way. Please, why is it that Ananias and Sapphira died right away, but people even nowadays tell worse lies and they don't pass out? Thank you. You are a blessing to the body, Todd. So here's how I responded. It was a time when they dropped dead. It was a time when there was a great manifestation of the grace of God or the power of God. God's power can be manifested in grace, or in judgment. They lied from their hearts to God. This brought judgment. Obviously, God also used this as an example to the body of Christ, which brought great fear and reverence upon everyone during that time. The fear of the Lord, Psalm 19 tells us, is clean, enduring forever. This caused many to turn to God and humble themselves before Him. The important lesson here is to not lie to God. 1 Corinthians 4:18 says, "Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you," Paul says, "shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but they will know the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye, that I shall come to you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness?" In other words, it's your choice. And so when great power is manifested, you're going to have either judgment or you're going to have overflow. And if your heart is not in a condition of being pure before God, judgment is going to come. And that's what happened. Their hearts were not pure before God. Judgment came and they were judged and they dropped dead. Now, where did they go eternally? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. I would hope that in the end they were saved, but I don't know. Praise God. I'm not going to tell you something I don't know. And maybe it's in the scripture somewhere and I just haven't seen it yet. But I am not going to take a chance and just live any way that I want, hoping that everything is going to be okay. Hebrews tells us that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You want to make sure that you do not tread upon the sacrifice of Jesus. You want to make sure that you live in a way that is pleasing to Him, which means that not only do we know the word, but we do the word. Praise God. Amen. Call you blessed tonight, Todd, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Karen. Karen says, "Hey, Pastor, why did God create Adam and Eve if He knew that they were going to sin? Why bother?" Why bother is a very natural response. And I do get it. And I've heard it many times. You know, why bother? Why bother? Why bother is definitely not understanding. What we have to understand is that God created man just like Him, who has free will. He created man to have a choice. And God did not make man a robot or an automaton. He made man just like Him. We're really not made. We're really born from God. And we're born with free will, with a choice. And so God had to give Adam a choice of what he would do and the decisions that he would make. And very simply, Adam chose the woman over God. God told him, "Don't eat the fruit." The woman said, "Eat the fruit, because you're not going to leave me by myself, are you? You love me. You think I'm beautiful," and et cetera, et cetera. And exactly what Adam did, he chose the woman. Did he fully understand the ramifications of his decision? No. But he certainly did afterwards, praise God. And everything that the scriptures teach us is that this wasn't the first time that God made a species of beings for the earth. It's pretty clear in scripture that this was the second run around. When you read Genesis chapter 1 in the Hebrew, you find that it's really a picture of recreation more than it is a picture of creation. We don't have time to get into all that tonight, but there's two Hebrew words you should study. Look up the Hebrew word bara and the Hebrew word asa. Bara means to create out of what never existed. Asa means to recreate out of what already is made. So it's like going to Home Depot and buying all the lumber to make a house. Well, the lumber already exists. So you are Asa, or making something out of what already existed. And most of Genesis chapter 1 is Asa. Praise God. I hope that helps answer your question. I call you blessed, Karen, in Jesus' name. We can get more into that. And y'all are always welcome to call me and we can dialogue on the air. Just email me instudio101@gmail.com and put in the subject Zoom and we can talk. We're not going to have time tonight, but we can do it next week in Jesus' name. Call you blessed, Karen. Another email here tonight from our friend Brett. Brett says, thanks, Pastor, for all that you do for the word, all that you do for the world on radio. It is a gift for all of us. Praise God, Brett. That's only because of Jesus. He is awesome and wonderful, and he told me to do this. So for me not doing this, I would be disobedient. But I had to crucify my flesh tonight because I thought about calling Gary and saying, oh, I'll just put on a rerun. I'm tired. I'm going to relax tonight, but I'm here. Praise God. And I'm happy to be here. Praise Jesus. Call you blessed, Brett, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Bill. You know, sometimes we just need to be honest, Gary, with people.
For sure.
Praise God. Amen. My wife always says, tell the truth and shame the devil. Praise the Lord. Bill writes us and says, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. May you be blessed. P.S. I hate cranberry sauce. Send me your cranberry sauce, Bill, because I like cranberry sauce. Amen. If it'll fit in my P.O. box. No, I'm just kidding. You can send it to me. Praise the Lord. Call you blessed, Bill. I had some turkey tonight, as a matter of fact. And be nice to be together with the family on Thanksgiving. Call you blessed, Bill, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Tommy. Tommy says, Pastor, do I have to pray a lot and repeatedly for God to answer me in some way for my plea, for my request? My plea is once enough and sincerity enough? Thank you for your advice. Great question, Tommy. So what you want to do is first you need to know what the will of God is regarding your situation. There are seven steps to answered prayer. It's a CD you can get. Go on to YouTube and put in Seven Steps to Answered Prayer by Kenneth Hagin. And he's got a book on it as well. But God will answer your prayer every single time. What people fail to do most of the time is find out what is God's will regarding my situation. Sometimes people are just praying what they want to pray, but there is a right way to pray and there's a wrong way to pray. 1 John chapter 5 says that if you ask anything according to the will of God, he hears you. And if you know he hears you, then you know you have the petitions that you have desired of him. So you don't have to keep asking the same thing. As a matter of fact, you should ask one time. And you're asking one time based on your faith, which you have built up according to the will of God, which comes from the word of God. So you go to the word of God, find out the will of God, and then you pray the will of God and you receive it. Mark 11:25, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it. Not praying it multiple times. Sometimes that will actually hinder your faith. You want to pray one time, believe that you receive it. And then from there on, you're thanking God for answering your prayer and you keep thanking God until you see the manifestation. Call you blessed tonight, Tommy, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Don. Don says, Pastor, where actually was Eden? I am so curious about this. So much information has been online lately about saying it was fake or non-existent. How come we do not know where it actually was? So you're not going to find Eden per se, but Eden was right around the place of Iraq, which actually is also the place of Babylon. And this is the place where the rivers meet. And if you read in Genesis chapter 1, you'll see where the Euphrates River and the other rivers it talks about in there where they cross. And that was the place where Eden was. But of course, when Satan came in, he destroyed all of that area. So exactly where it was geographically, I don't think we're going to know. But you can certainly be pretty close when you see where the rivers meet. And he gives you that description in Genesis chapter 1. Call you blessed, Don, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Hannah. Hannah says, prayers for the update New York people. 5 feet of snow. Yeah, man. That's a lot of snow. We used to live there in Toronto, hour and a half from Buffalo, and that is a place where major lake effect snow. And it's not the first time they've had to shut down the stadium there, the football stadium, because of so much snow. What was it, Gary? About 2 or 3 years ago, they got 12 feet?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. You think 6 feet's a lot. Double that. Praise God. Just a few years ago. Call you blessed tonight, Hannah, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Don. Don says, when Jesus' parents went looking for him and then found him in the temple, how come they did not understand Jesus when he said that he was in his father? He's actually said, I was about my father's will or doing my father's work. With all the prophets and the angels telling Mary and Joseph that he is the Messiah, why did they not understand? Well, the Bible says that Mary hid all these things in her heart. And sure, she didn't have perfect understanding, but she did have a reverence. And if you remember, when Jesus turned water into wine, it was at the word of Mary. Mary told them, do whatever he says. So Mary had a great fear of God and understanding. Did she understand all of the things? No, but none of us do. Even right now, we don't really know what time it is. Jesus is coming soon. Call you blessed, Don, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Bob. Bob says, Pastor, with the U.S. Thanksgiving coming up, let's remind all the people here to thank our Lord sincerely for their blessings. Amen, Bob. That's a good word, and we ought to do that because it's certainly not our goodness. It's because God is good, and he is worthy and deserving of our thanks. Thank you for that. Call you blessed, Bob, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Grace. Grace says, when we follow Satan, we give him power. When we follow Jesus, he gives us power. Woo, that is so good. Amen. Call you blessed, Grace, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Monique. She says, Pastor, will we ever find Noah's Ark to really prove the flood narrative? Why won't God let us? Well, I don't know that there's any remnants of the ark anymore, but we do know that it landed on Mount Ararat, which of course is in Turkey, which of course is now a Muslim country under Sharia law. So you're not going to be able to get archaeologists in there anyway. And they're Muslim, so they don't want to prove. Well, maybe they do. I don't know. But regardless, we believe by faith, and we don't need to see it to believe it. All we need to know is the veracity of God and that God is not a liar and that what God has said in his word is true. Call you blessed, Monique, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Edward. Hi to Pastor John. How do we know if we pray for a decision from God that we get it? Because just what I said a few minutes ago, because we pray according to his will. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, do it. So all you have to do is find out what does God say in his word and then grab a hold of that and stand on it, pray according to it, and don't let go of it, and you will see the manifestation every single time. God is faithful. Call you blessed, Edward, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Eric. Eric says, hi, Pastor John. I am confused as to who Abraham was. Can you further explain? Great question, Eric. Abraham was a man from Ur of the Chaldees, and he was a man that God found that would have a heart toward him. And God revealed himself to Abram and told Abram who he was and said, follow me, and I will make you the father of many nations. And that's exactly what he did. And Abraham believed God. And as a result of that, the entire Jewish nation was born. His grandson, Jacob, had 12 sons, which were the 12 tribes of Israel, which became the Jewish people that we know today. Praise God. Awesome question. Thank you for that, Eric. Call you blessed. Go back and read Genesis chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. You'll read all about Abraham. Praise God. Call you blessed. Another email here tonight from Mike. Mike says, hey, Pastor John, will we be reunited with our loved ones when we die? What about our enemies? What would be our jobs if we are blessed to get to heaven? So first of all, you need to get to heaven. And all you got to do to get to heaven, Mike, is believe on Jesus Christ. When you believe on Jesus, you become born again. You begin a relationship with God. You begin to renew your mind to the word of God. Go to church. Do the word of God. Forgive your enemies. And anyone who is born again, you are going to see them and you are going to know them better than you would know them down here. You'll know them better in eternity than you would in this flesh. Praise God. I hope that answers your question, and we can get into more of that in another day. We've talked about it in other episodes about the future that God has for us. We are going to live on earth for eternity, not in heaven, in earth, but heaven is going to come down to the earth. And again, scriptural and verse for everything that I'm saying right now. Call you blessed, Mike, in Jesus' name. I'm trying to wrap up, Gary. Got three more emails. Thank you for your time, Gary.
No problem.
Another email here tonight from Karen. Did I bless my friend Mike? Mike, call you blessed in Jesus' name. Karen says, Pastor, are the great questions, by the way, tonight, Gary.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
All these questions. Usually I just get all these like postings that people send me.
Right.
But tonight I'm getting really good questions. I'm so happy. Karen says, Pastor, are there any original writings of the Bible anywhere? If not, how do we know that the word is accurate and that men did not make stuff up? Thank you very much. Well, we know two ways. First of all, we know because God's word has been passed on by faithful men. We also have the Old Testament that was found in scrolls called the Dead Sea Scrolls in Israel, which confirmed many of the scriptures, including some of the lost chapters of Isaiah. And then number two, we know because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our witness. He is God Almighty who lives in our heart. He is the one who confirms the word of God. Amen. And it's not just in word, it's confirmed in power. Praise God. The kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Call you blessed tonight, Karen, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Pam. Pam says, hello, Pastor John. How do we celebrate Christmas? Besides Mass and praising our Lord, what is a good way for Christians to celebrate? The best way to celebrate Christmas is to talk about the reason for the season. His name is Jesus. Tell people that you don't celebrate Christmas because you're giving gifts or celebrate Christmas because of chestnuts roasting on an open fire. We don't celebrate Christmas for any of those reasons. We celebrate Christmas because of Jesus. And then you tell them that Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. I don't care what day it was, January, December, April. That doesn't matter. The fact is he was born. And Jesus was born a child of God without sin to take away our sins. And that's what Christmas is all about. Call you blessed tonight, Pam, in Jesus' name. Last email of the night is from Beth. Beth says, hi, Pastor. God never promised we'd miss a storm. He did promise we'd make the harbor. Hallelujah. Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I used to listen to him all the time. I love that, Beth. Thank you for sharing it. And thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. What a blessed show. I call every one of you blessed. And I want to remind you, go to our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. That's spiritoffaithradio.com. And until next week, remember that God is exalted, the devil is defeated, Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.